everyone, and welcome to minute 75 of season 3 of Movie Row Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1988 Bruce Willis action movie Die Hard, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again is Eric Deutsch from the Flash Gordon Minute and Escape from New York Minute. Welcome back to the show, Eric.
Thank you. I have survived the full week. As to allay your fears, I'm not dying hard, so I'm okay.
All right. I'm very glad to hear that you're still back. You know, try not to die hard after today also. Okay. Well, I want to keep you alive, you know, at least through the end of today. You know, what happens between now and Monday is beyond my control, but, you know, it depends if you're on the inside of the RV or if you're on the outside of the RV or who knows. Or if you're pissing off, Franco. I don't know. Could be any of that. So, minute 75. First of all, I'm surprised. I'm happy we've gotten to 75 minutes. We're at I'm an hour and a quarter through the movie. We have less than an hour to go till we finish it. We're moving along at a great pace, and things are fun. Hopefully, all of my listeners are having as much fun as me and my guests have been having. Hopefully, you've been having a fun week also, Eric.
Yeah, I mean, Die Hard is my favorite action movie ever. So
we never even discussed that. So why don't you want to give us a little bit of your background of Die Hard?
Oh, sure. I saw it in the movie theater when it came out when I was just a kid, and I loved it immediately. I mean, at that point, I only obviously, like most people, I knew Bruce Willis as that guy from Moonlighting. So it was, you know, a pleasant surprise. And once it came on HBO, I taped it and I watched it a million times on VHS that I had taped from HBO. Once I graduated to DVDs, it's one of the first DVDs that I bought. It is the first R movie I ever showed my older son.
How old is he now?
He's almost 13 now. I probably showed it to him the first time, maybe, oh, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 years ago or something.
You see, I have a problem with that. Not a problem with you. This is a movie I want to show my kids. But because of the one gratuitous nudity scene, I have a lot of problems, wanting to show it to them with, you know, by finding a way of just, you know, ignoring that fact. How'd you get around that? Did you get around that?
You know, I mean, they were young enough that they thought it was funny, like, oh, boobs, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's fair. That's
yeah. Fair. Yeah. My younger son by now has seen it also. They both love it. Incidentally, the first R movie my younger son ever watched was Predator, another John McTiernan movie, which is interesting. Yeah. That was not done on purpose. It just happened to be coincidental. And so, you know, yeah, I mean, this is just, it's got, like I said earlier this week, it's got one of the best movie villains of all time. You know, it's got one of the best movie heroes, action heroes of all time. There's great action. There's great humor. You know, it's a tight plot. It's just, it's perfectly edited and paced. It's just, it really is a great movie.
Yeah. I definitely agree with you on every single one of those points. And I will now reconsider showing it to my 18 and 15-year-old sons.
There you go. Your younger son is older than my oldest son, and they've both seen it. So, you should be good.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't like to, you know, they like action movies, and they probably won't pay any attention to it. But I just have a problem as a father, you know, showing them something like that. That's what it comes down to. You know, because it's not needed. I mean, we had a whole long discussion the week that we discussed the minute that they had the gratuitous nudity, whether it's actually needed in this movie or in most movies. And we came up with a few that we thought gratuitous nudity is needed in order to empower the story. But Die Hard is not one of them.
Yeah, it was only needed in the sense that every 1980s R-rated movie or action movie at some point, you know, was like required to do it.
Yeah, exactly. Again, it goes back to it was needed in the script. You know, actually, it wasn't in the script, but it was needed for the plot. The producer came and said, oh, you know what? I think you should take her top off. Oh. All right, so minute 75 begins with the RV approaching the building and ends with the missile hitting the RV dead on. So we ended things yesterday with the miniature RV. Which, you know, moving towards the building, we're not sure if it's a model or if it's the real shot from above or whatever. And this minute it continues it, and then it quickly jumps back to the middle of the hostage room, and Franco is still looking out the window at everything going on, and he feels someone walking towards him. One of the hostages starts walking towards the window, and Franco turns around and quite agitated and starts screaming, "Get out of here! Get back! Get the f back!" And then he goes, "Get over there!" And I mean, I don't know if this is really needed. Also, it's it doesn't add much to the whole plot of the movie. The fact that we see Franco is agitated here. Maybe he's upset that he's not part of the action going on downstairs.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, we've been talking about how, a lot of the criminals have been so nonchalant, and then finally, in the last minute, we finally got one who's very agitated. So, maybe it's just showing, here's another one who's also agitated and is nonchalant. They're not all necessarily uniform. I mean, I don't know what the motivation of this character is walking towards him. Is he walking there just to try to see, like, well, what's going on? Or was he actually going to, like, try to grab the gun away
Push him
from him?
out, or push him
Or
out.
push him out, yeah.
Even though the window is, there's probably a window in there, so yeah, that wouldn't really work. But yeah, I mean, I'm not really sure why this is here. And then like he pushes the guy jumps back really, really quickly, and then we get a shot of James struggling to push the cart all by himself, and trying to turn a slight corner with the whole thing. And then we have Theo, shouting onto the radio to both James and Alexander, to get over there already. And the then we get a lot of German between Alexander and James, who both start talking back to one another. And I mean, a few of the words that Alexander says I've actually recognized because they're similar to Yiddish words that I've heard. Like one of them is Weiter. Weiter means move forward. Maybe that's what maybe he is telling him to go forward, and he also seems to be telling him to go faster. I'm trying to remember what the word was for that. There was a word also that I schnell,
Yeah, schnell,
it's a
schnell.
schnell, like move. I think that's what it means. So it's like move faster, move over there, that type of thing. And as they're walking, or as they're trying to move faster, so one of the crates falls off, and James goes to pick it up, and Alexander tells him, no, don't take it. He like motions to him, don't take it, let's move. And they get to the spot where they need to go. They open up two of the caskets, or whatever you want to call them, and they take out all this heavy machinery, weaponry, and start putting it together really quickly. This whole missile launcher. They're quite adept at the way that they're doing this. Now, we've seen Alexander a few times before in the movie. We've seen him, looking out from the third floor window at things that are going on. We suspect that he is the reason why he's the one who shot at Al from the window, and also he's the one who shot at the lights. But we didn't see him do it. The script mentions a few times that he has a very light trigger finger and constantly wants to shoot. So I don't know if that's really reasoning or not, but he's done more than have him scream at James at Vigo the what did you say his name?
Vigo the
Vigo the
Carpathian.
Carpathian. Exactly. And the two then at this point, James opens the one another crate and pulls out a missile from it, which is tightly packed. You see like all the foam around it, so that that things don't get jostled along the way. And then the RV continues down the street, and as it's continuing down the street, first of all, we see it pass a Batman spotlight. So I guess they didn't shoot them all out. Then we get a shot of Alexander looking into the visor of this rocket launcher. And he screams out, "Yeah, I see him,"
Why is he suddenly speaking English, by the way?
so that we can understand. Why else? I mean, I find it very interesting that they have them speak German throughout the movie instead of having them just speak English. That especially in the 80s, that was something that was much more prevalent. That they would have characters speak, they'd have them speak English, because as we all know, us Americans are all really lazy and don't want to have to read subtitles.
Right.
So it's better to just have everyone speak English. But in at this point, they didn't do that, and then he starts aiming it. They give us another shot, and it's a very long shot of the whole street. I don't know if this is Olympic Boulevard or not. I'm not sure, but you see the RV on the basically driving down the wrong side of traffic. Okay, it's coming on the right side lane towards towards Nakatomi, but Nakatomi is on the left-hand side, and you see the stairs going up towards the Nakatomi building from the street itself also, which is apparently this is all after the parking lot. You can see the parking lot in the background on the left-hand side. So like he basically bypasses the parking lot and moves over, and it drives, as I said, it's driving on the wrong side of the road, and then it veers off and crosses over the divider. And we once again see Alexander and James conversing in German, not knowing what they're actually saying to one another. And then the RV like jumps up the stairs, completely taking out one of the railings of the stairs. There's like a middle railing that just gets compacted, and we were talking earlier this week about the way that you fold up double mint gum or Juicy Fruit. That's what they do here. They really just folded it, and you can see two drivers on the inside as they're going through. They both have these white hats that say LAPD on them. And then we get James slapping Alexander on the back, tapping him on the back, basically giving him the order that he can fire. And then he shoots it, and the rocket goes down. Now, when he shoots it, you see that James is nowhere to be seen. Okay. So first of all, you would think that that might be a continuity error, but I want to mention something else first. So when you have, having been in the army, so I know how some of these things work.
Isn't he there? He's there crouching, holding his hands over his ears.
He's not standing
Sit.
where he just was.
Oh, okay. I see what you're
Yes.
saying. Yeah,
Yeah,
right.
yeah. He's quickly changed his spot. That's the thing. Yeah.
Yes.
So the first thing is whenever you're behind someone and you're loading up a weapon, okay, so then you tap them on the shoulder to let them know that it's been loaded so that they can shoot. And obviously you don't want to stand behind a weapon that's being fired like that, because there's definitely going to be a lot of backflow. There's going to be fire coming out the back. And if James would have stood there, we would have found a Vigo the Carpathian, the headless Vigo the Carpathian. But what I like also is that it completely lights up this room that they're in. And you see a desk that has looks like a phone book on it, and some binders and stuff like that. And it looks like it's a dilapidated desk, which doesn't fit into a high tech building, even if it's still in the middle of being built. Why would it have this seemingly broken down desk in there that's
The
missing?
only thing I can think of is the construction team needed a desk in this room, and they felt, well, it's a construction site. It's not going to be, it's going to get knocked up and beat up, and we're only going to be here for X number of months anyway. So just, what desk do we have lying around we can stick here that we can at least have a desk there that we can use, even if there's drawers missing.
Right. Okay, that could be. That's a fair assessment. I like the fact that they do show him, not standing behind him, but he has crouched. He's crouched down on the side and holding his ears. Now, Alexander, on the other hand, hopefully has earplugs in. But we will never find that out whether he does, because he's not picking his ears like Huey Lewis was a few days ago.
And let me say, there is something very cool about a weapon that has to be bolted down before you can use it.
Yes, I've used weapons like that.
That is cool.
Yeah, it's because they have such they're causing such a shock
Right.
that if they're not bolted down, they're not gonna, they're gonna move, and you don't want it to move. You want to be as accurate as possible with whatever it is that you're trying to shoot. And they get a direct hit, and we see the blast as the minute ends. We see the blast on one side, but then the other side blasts also. So I'm not really sure how that works. Maybe it's the fire
Well,
coming out the other window. I don't know.
yeah, I don't know. I mean, I had one eye on the counter as I was doing my notes for this minute because I was like, oh man, the explosion's not going to happen until after the minute's over, and I'm not going to be able to talk about the explosion. And then with 1 second left, the explosion started. So I was like, oh yes, good, I can talk about the explosion. I think it, if you do continue at, on Monday's minute, when the explosion completes in the first few seconds of the next minute, they did a little bit of the classic action movie of making sure we see the explosion a couple of different times from a couple of different angles to, maximize the money being spent on the explosion. So, it's yeah, we might see it a little bit on the left, a little bit on the right. All right, so it's not, who knew when they were making this movie that there were going to be freaks like us pausing this and looking at it like this,
Yeah, exactly. That's true. No one would have thought 34 years ago that some crazy people would be sitting and talking about Die Hard 1 minute at a time. And all the things that we found, it's all out of love, but still, is there anything else you want to say about this minute before we get into the script?
Yeah, a couple of things. For the RV, I think it took way too long to get in position. I don't know why it was so far away and had to have this really long trip
It was the
towards the
buildup, the
building.
buildup.
I mean, yeah, movie reasons, but in universe reasons, I can't think of anything why it's like, why is this car taking so long to drive to this building? It's just, that was insane. It gets stuck on the stairs. This is like in the NFL if you're fumbling the ball on the 2 yard line. You've just run 90 yards and you've dropped the ball right before the end zone. I mean, this is like the robot in RoboCop that can't use the stairs. This is just like a huge design flaw of they've got this great plan, send in the RV, and it doesn't quite make it
Up the
there where
stairs.
it needed to go. Which leads me into what exactly is the plan? Ram through the wall to create an opening in the building, I guess. But if that's the plan, like there's no backup that's nearby that could rush in the hole in the wall that it would create. How many guys could really be inside that tank anyway to be able to come out and storm the building? It doesn't look like it would fit that many. Were they not aware it couldn't go up the stairs? Did they just figure, oh, let's send it. I'm sure it can make it up the stairs without really thinking about it. It just this is one of those, movie scenes where when you do this kind of movie by minute thing, you start to think of, like the actual plan doesn't really make any sense whatsoever.
Well, I'm gonna enlighten you in a few seconds when we talk about the script.
Ah, all right.
You jumped the gun a little bit, but that's fine. That's fine.
Aha.
So the script basically it truncates this entire minute. It has a short little thing about Alexander and James. It says the service elevator arrives at the third floor, and James and Alexander move across the room towards the windows with the anti-tank weapon. At the window, they prepare the weapon for use. Now, there's no screaming in German between the two of them or anything like that, and they also don't have something falling as they, none of the crates fall as they're moving along. And then it says, outside the window, the armored car has stopped in front of the wounded men, and paramedics quickly load them in from the sheltered side of the vehicle. So, according to the script, the plan was that this was being that the RV was being sent in just to extricate the wounded.
Huh.
It's not meant as an assault vehicle. I mean, again, it doesn't make sense the way that this is because, if the idea is that, again, I'm talking about from the script. What they try doing in the movie is completely different because we don't see paramedics get out We don't see anyone. We don't even see the wounded guys there.
Right.
You know, because the wounded guys are not here. The wounded guys are on the other side.
Right.
Because you know, the door where they were trying to get in is the one where, you know, Theo parked his car months ago. This is not the same door. I'm trying to figure out where this door is.
It's the southwest corner.
No, it's southeast. Right, it's southeast corner. But nobody's there.
Yeah.
You know, how is Alexander there to be shooting from that area also? You know, apparently he's been on the third floor the whole time, but he's going from different places. So maybe that explains how he's shooting out different window panes because it's a different shot. I don't know. I'll have to check that out. But the according to the script, the plan is that the RV is there to extricate the wounded.
Hmm.
So
then they came up with this, you know, this is a big tweak that they made.
Yeah,
while they were filming, or
I don't know. I have no idea.
Script, I guess.
I have no idea. And then another slight difference is that Alexander says to Hans on the CB, "I have them," and then Hans tells him, "Okay, fire." So here it's James who's giving him the okay, not Hans. So is Vigo the Carpathian more powerful, or does he have? Is he ranked higher than Hans Gruber?
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
It also ties into Hans giving that order, ties into, like we talked about in a previous minute, I had mentioned how Hans doesn't want to raise the stakes by killing cops yet. But as we alluded to in that same minute, he clearly quickly changed his mind because I don't think anyone in that RV is surviving that missile launch.
Yeah.
I wonder if, you know, the thing is, Hans, like, seems to have anticipated everything, you know, like, later on we get into, like, the cutting of the power and the stuff like that, you know, and, like, you know, he anticipated all of that, but it almost seems like he didn't anticipate this, you know, just with the guys being agitated
he did
and rushing over.
He did bring a missile launcher.
Yeah, but, you know, with Theo saying, you know, get over there, and they're agitated, and they're running over, and you know, I wonder if they anticipated the specific thing of, like, them bringing an armored truck to try to ram into the building.
Yeah, probably yeah. not. Probably not, because Theo is surprised. Right. But we've also discussed this a few times, the fact that Hans is the only one who knows the entire plan.
That's true, yeah.
He keeps it completely compartmentalized. Nobody knows everything. Theo doesn't even know everything.
Asian Dawn
I have a feeling... yeah, and Carl doesn't either. Exactly. They're... But Hans is definitely the mastermind here. All right. So is there anything else you want to say about the movie in general?
No, that's pretty much everything.
All right. Great. So on every Friday, we have a surprise segment where my guests generally don't know what the surprise is. And I ask a simple question. There's much controversy about Die Hard over the last 34 years. You know, is Die Hard a Christmas movie or is it not? And, you know, so what do you think, Eric? You need to make sure to, show your work.
I say yes. I mean, it takes place during it's a Christmas party. You know, Let It Snow is the song playing over the closing credits, which isn't specifically a Christmas song, but it, you know, it's come to sort of being associated with Christmas. You know, I know Bruce Willis was very adamant about this fact. But to me, yes, it is a Christmas movie.
Okay. That's fair. That's very fair. All right. Do you want to once again tell people how they can get in touch with you?
Sure. So I co-hosted Escape from New York Minute and Flash Gordon Minute, and they both are available on all the podcatchers out there. We have listener groups on Facebook for both of them. We have Twitter feeds for both of them, so you can contact us through them as well.
All right. Excellent. And one thing I'd like to mention every so often is that both Eric and I are part of the Movies by Minute community. There are, as of recording, there are at least 224 Movies by Minute podcasts that are going. So you can go to their website, moviesbyminute.com, and try and find your favorite movie that maybe has been already done in Movies by Minute style. And if for some reason you can't find your favorite movie there, maybe you want to actually start your own podcast and get in on all the fun, just like Eric and I have, and do your own. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of work
It's a lot
also,
of
but it's a
work.
lot of fun. It's a lot of work, but if you love the movie and you want to find the time, I think it it's a very fun thing to do. And think about it, there's only 224 different groups of people that have done these. So you would be part of a very unique and elite group of people. Crazy people, but people. And finding me is very simple. All you have to do is just a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Twitter, or you can go directly to my website, movierobminute.com. Eric, I want to once again thank you for joining me. This has been a lot of fun for me this week. Hopefully you've enjoyed this week also. All
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
right, I appreciate that. And we'll be back on Monday with a new guest for next week. But until then, have a great weekend and yippee-ki-yay!
Yippee-ki-yay!